from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Padres and Dodgers tonight. Start of a 5-game homestand. Just 2 against the LA Dodgers tonight and tomorrow. And then 3 against the irksome Colorado Rockies. Ugh. Who came into Petco Park the last time.
We know.
Yeah, you can't.
We know.
Yeah, you gotta pay them back at this point. You can't just go 1-5 against the Rockies at home this season. That's not going to get it done.
When was that? May.
I think that was back in May. That was a dark period for your 2024 San Diego Padres when the Rockies came
mid-May,
and just
right after the Dodgers
stuck it to them. So it's another Dodgers.
We played the Dodgers Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 10th, 11th, 12th, and then welcomed the Rockies down and got swept.
Certainly not getting a an easy pitcher tonight. Tyler Glasnow, who's back from the injured list. I think he's made 1 or 2 starts since coming off the IL.
You know what? Neither are the Dodgers, though.
No, they're getting Matt Waldron tonight.
Love it.
And Matt's been pretty consistent. He's had one or two bad innings his last couple of starts that have hurt him. But if he can get that knuckleball locked in, obviously he's been just about as good as anybody the past couple of months of the season.
Strikeouts have been down a little bit for him.
Yeah, like not quite as much
6, 7, 8 strikeouts a game.
You were winning money on that all the time.
Every week.
But yeah, the numbers have been down a little bit in terms of the strikeouts and the swing and miss.
But he's still giving you a solid 5, 6, maybe even 7 innings. So, Can't wait for that.
Even in the starts where he had a bad inning, he bounced back and got through like 6. So he's been pretty solid. We'll see. And then tomorrow, 5:40 start, Clayton Kershaw, making his second or third start of the season, will go up against Dylan Cease in what is a marquee matchup. I know the Padres are planning to have a celebration for Dylan Cease's no-hitter. That's actually tonight, I think, in pregame ceremonies I saw. Before the game, because obviously you don't want to do it when he's pitching. So they'll have a little pregame for Dylan Cease. But if you actually want to see him pitch, that'll be tomorrow's game. And we're actually going to give away some tickets for tomorrow's game. First start for Dylan Cease since the no-hitter. So stay tuned. That'll happen sometime between now and 10 o'clock. And then Padres go back on the road. And then they come back home. And they've got the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is going to be a big series. Obviously, the Pirates are still well in wild card contention, and a really good American League team in the Minnesota Twins, who are coming to Petco Park. And by the way, the Padres have provided with some of the giveaways that I have here for that homestand, including the Gwynn Henley. They call it the Henley jersey. I'm not familiar with the Henley name, but just looking at it, it's like the three-button.
Yeah, it's like a T-shirt.
Three-button kind of T-shirt type jersey.
Jersey, maybe?
That is the Monday, August 12th game. This is first 40,000 fans in attendance are going to get the 1999 Tony Gwynn Henley jersey presented by ServPro, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Tony Gwynn's 3,000th career hit. And it comes in 5 different sizes. So you've got some different options when you walk in the gates, but be sure to be one of the first 40,000. That's the series opener against the Pirates. And then they've got the Manny Machado collectible pin for the game against the Twins on Tuesday, August 20th. That is also for the first 40,000 fans in attendance. Manny blowing a big bubble with the City Connect colors. Pretty cool Manny Machado pin as part of the giveaway as well. And then I've got the Ha-Sung Kim Gold Glove bobblehead as well. I don't have the date. When's the date for that one? I don't see that on my sheet, but that one's coming up as well.
I feel was that one that was recently added?
No, I think it's been there all season long. I mean, when they played, remember that commercial where they had everyone walking around the beach and showing off all the giveaways? They had it on a frisbee. They didn't have it yet when they were filming the commercial to show it, but they knew it was going to happen. The Ha-Sung Kim.
It's a theme game.
Oh, right? That's a theme game one.
And that's this Friday against the Rockies.
Oh, the Ha-Sung Kim Gold Glove theme game bobblehead. So,
and he is looking
sharp. I mean,
he's wearing the suit.
He's
debonair. He's got the gold glove on.
Is that like a brown leather suit that he is
looks
wearing?
Looks black in the picture I'm looking at.
It looks brown on the bobblehead that I'm holding, though. Brown would make more sense, being it's a Padres color. So that's what the Padres have coming up in their next couple of homestands. But again, starts tonight, 6:40, first pitch, 5:40, Eco Water SoCal pregame show with our pal Sammy Levitt. Coming up later this evening. If you want to join us for Take on Woods, which is going to be Take on John today, give us a call right now, 833-288-0973. Probably get it started fairly soon here. Johnny usually comes over a little bit early, so if you want to get in, you should call now, 833-288-0973. John Heyman had a quick update yesterday. Not really. I mean, he tweeted about Yu Darvish.
It was an update, but it wasn't an update.
Nothing that we didn't really know. He said the Padres still have hope for Yu to return this summer/season. They're in communication with him, but he remains obviously on the restricted list. And, apparently, whatever you want to think, and we don't know what's going on with Yu, internally, the Padres consider what Yu has done to be a very classy stand-up thing. Like, they would have let anybody go to deal with whatever he's dealing with. And they probably wouldn't have expected him to also give up his salary. But he thought, you said, no, I shouldn't. You know, I should do this for the team if I'm going to be gone and not with them. So,
what would be the alternative? Because we don't see this too often. It's not bereavement.
Not really. Yeah,
it's not paternity.
There is a bereavement list. There's a paternity list. I don't know which one would apply. What's going on with Yu Darvish? But you get paid when you're on all those lists.
Right.
This is one where you actually don't. And maybe, it gives you a little more flexibility. Like, okay, if I need to extend it by more days than Major League Baseball allows, I don't feel pressure to return after 7 days or whatever it is. So Yu remains on the restricted list. The Padres, according to John Heyman, still have hope that he may return at some point this season. But you can't count on that at the trade deadline. You know, hope is not a strategy for a pitching rotation. We saw what happened in 2021. It's kind of fueled by hope, and then retreads like Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta, and that season fell apart as fast as any season you'll see fall apart.
That was a combination of, not being aggressive at the trade deadline, and then, like, within 2 or 3 days of the deadline passing, like, two pitchers, Ryan Weather, like a couple of guys got hurt, and you're just like, we are absolutely screwed right now.
And hopefully that doesn't happen this year, but you just can't assume that everyone's going to be healthy the rest of the year. And then, if they were and Joe Musgrove came back and then Yu Darvish came back, then Padres probably don't need another, fifth starter because they're going to be fine. But you cannot assume that everyone's going to make every start. In fact, it's probably safer to assume that at least one guy is going to get hurt and miss at least some time, if not, the rest of the season. That's major league pitching nowadays. That's just smart baseball to assume that someone's going to get hurt.
The Padres have made the playoffs, they've been short on starting pitching.
Yeah. I mean, 2020, they were short.
Even being healthy.
2022, they were short.
They were healthy in 22, and they still fell short. Like, if Musgrove comes back, what's he going to look like when he gets back? We don't know. And then, I don't know how much Yu Darvish has been working out and throwing while he's been on leave, if at all. If he does come back in September, what's he going to provide? You don't know.
Right.
And even if you're betting on Musgrove and Darvish coming back, I still think you need another starting pitcher.
All right, we'll keep talking about this, obviously, as we lead up to the trade deadline at 3 o'clock today. Right now, though, let's get to our game. Let's put a little Take on John.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take Woods. Woods.
All right, take on John, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. I don't remember yesterday's contestant name, but the bar was set pretty low. He went through like three questions and then pulled the ripcord. I see Johnny out there. All right, we've got...
Hang on one sec.
We've got our contestant ready. We're about to play his game, and then we'll call you in about a minute. All right? So, no, I wanted you to say hi. Hi.
Hi, guys.
All right, John's here. He is waving. He is ready. He is going to now isolate so he can't hear. And let's bring on Ron. Ron, you ready for a little take on John today?
I am. Good morning, guys.
All right, Ron. If you can beat or tie John, you will qualify at the end of the month for a grand prize trip to the Rio Las Vegas. Two-night stay, dinner for two, a day bed at the Rio Pool. Rio is back. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, brand new food hall all ready for you and your next Vegas escape. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. Here are your category choices. We got The Afterlife, song title, word after. Ocean's five song titles and artists, including the word ocean. And Go Where You Want to Go, that is song titles, including the word go. The Afterlife, Ocean's five, or Go Where You Want to Go, Ron.
Let's try Ocean's 5.
Ocean's 5. All right, Ron, you'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. And our first questions are 2 second song. Polly's going to play the music. You need to give me the song title and the artist. Two-parter to score that point. Ron, are you ready to play?
Ready.
All right, remember the category Ocean's 5, song titles and artists that include the word ocean. Good luck. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Let's go, Ron. Let's take on John.
We spotted the ocean.
Pat.
Which singer-songwriter from the island of Trinidad recorded hits including 1984's Caribbean Queen?
Billy Ocean.
Correct. Joe Jonas and his band Dance, drop the letter A, hit the top 10 with which debut song in 2015?
Pass.
Which Long Beach songwriter, rapper, and alt R&B pioneer released his critically acclaimed 2016 Blonde album just one day after releasing his album Endless to fulfill contractual obligations with Def Jam?
Pass.
Written by her brother Phineas, which 2015 single first brought the attention of the music world to a then 15-year-old Billie Eilish?
Oh my God, I'm terrible. I passed.
All right, go back to the 2 second song.
No.
How about Joe Jonas and his band? All right, just one. All right, well, at least it's one. I don't know how John's going to do on this one. That was A Walk on the Ocean by Toad the Wet Sprocket. Cake by the Ocean is Joe Jonas and Dance. Frank Ocean is the Long Beach songwriter-rapper. Ocean Eyes is Billie Eilish. All right, let's hang on the line, Ron. All right, Johnny's here.
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, boys.
How we doing?
I'm a little bit tired after watching Snoop commentate on badminton last night.
Yes. But,
I've got that coming up later this morning.
Yeah, we'll get
amazing.
Category today, playing against Ron, is Ocean's 5. Five song titles and artists that include the word ocean.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock.
Can I say hi to Ron first?
Please.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, there's Ron. Say hi to John.
How you doing, man?
There you go.
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Ron's score is locked in. All right, remember, title and the artist for the two-second song, and then we'll go from there. Pass if you don't know. 160 seconds on the clock. Category is Ocean's 5. John, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Ron.
We spotted the ocean.
Walk on the Ocean, Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Correct. Which singer-songwriter from the island of Trinidad recorded hits including 1984's Caribbean Queen?
Billy Ocean.
Correct. Joe Jonas and his band Dance, drop the letter A, hit the top 10 with which debut song in 2015?
Pass.
Which Long Beach songwriter, rapper, and alt R&B pioneer released his critically acclaimed 2016 album Blonde just one day after releasing his album Endless to fulfill contractual obligations with Def Jam?
I don't know. Pass.
Written by her brother Phineas, which 2015 single first brought the attention of the music world to a then 15-year-old Billie Eilish.
I'm gonna miserably fail today. Yeah, I don't know that one either.
All right, let's go back to Joe Jonas and his band Dance. Dropped the letter A. Hit the top 10 with which debut song in 2015?
Oceantastic.
No. Which Long Beach singer, songwriter, rapper, alt R&B pioneer released his critically acclaimed 2016 album Blonde?
Okay. I should know that.
You did win, actually, 2-1. It was a tough category today. Yeah, you got Walking on the Ocean by Toad the Wet Sprocket and Billy Ocean. Cake by the Ocean is Dance.
Yeah, my daughter's going to be so angry with
Frank
me.
Ocean is the Long Beach rapper, and Ocean Eyes is Billie Eilish. A little more modern stuff. Can trip
very,
up.
Very, very tough
can
today.
Can trip up my audience and yours as well, and you, apparently.
I got last time at 12 seconds. I got all five.
Yes, you did.
I failed miserably today, Ron.
That's what's great about this game. Some days it's hard. Some days it's easier. You never know.
I think it's because I'm staring at my ugly mug on this YouTube channel now as we're talking to you.
Good news for you. Woods is gone for an entire week, so anytime you want to come back, you can redeem yourself tomorrow if you'd like.
If you guys would allow me, I would
absolutely
love that.
Done. Thank you, John. Okay. All right.
Go Pods.
All right, go Pods. Road trip is over. Homestand starts tonight, and we'll talk to Johnny again tomorrow for a little more take
See
on
buddy.
John. All right, let's take a timeout. We've got Don't Do This coming up. Olympics always seems to provide a don't do this moment or two every single day. This time, a broadcaster in hot water. We can get to that. And maybe one of the toughest baseball moments I've ever seen yesterday. You know what I'm talking about if you saw it.
Gnarly.
We'll get to that coming up next after your check. Traffic with Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. Broadcasters today, they need to be a little more careful with their words. What may have flown 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, doesn't necessarily work out today. And I'm starting Don't Do This with an Olympic broadcaster who's been sent home, taken off the air from Eurosport.
Oh, boy.
Bob Ballard, who was covering the swimming competition in Paris and is being criticized for what are being called outrageous comments. At least one British swimmer labeled them outrageous as he was calling the 4x100-meter freestyle relay for the women. And Australia won the gold. Molly O'Callaghan, Shayna Jack, Emma McKeon, and Meg Harris. Ballard was heard saying on the broadcast after it was over, "Well, the women just finishing up. You know what women are like, hanging around, doing their makeup."
Hmm.
I see a quizzical look.
I'm going to go ahead and ring the misogyny bell.
There you go. For sure. I feel like that's something that would have gotten a groan maybe like 10 years ago, but wouldn't necessarily have taken a broadcaster off the air completely.
Yeah. Stupid thing to say then.
Yeah.
Just like it is now, but I don't know that he loses his job back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly get it. I mean, these are the top level athletes, have trained intensely for years to get to this point, and it certainly makes no sense to belittle or diminish or say anything negative at that point. It doesn't make sense. It's not good broadcasting. I will say that. It is very poor timing, poor choice of words, inappropriate in that situation. I don't know that it's like cause for like never getting a chance to broadcast again, like completely done in my mind. I don't know. Is would that be going too far in this situation?
I don't know. I mean, has he issued a statement?
I have not seen. He said, "It was never my intention to upset or belittle anyone, and if I did, I apologize. I am a massive advocate of women's sport. I shall miss the Eurosport team dearly and wish them all the best for the rest of the Olympics."
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to never work again.
Yeah.
But stupid comment, stupid thing to say.
Yeah, it was dumb. That was just a dumb, unnecessary comment.
And that's what lands you on Don't Do This.
Right.
All right. I got a story here. Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live. I think he is fantastic. He does the Weekend Update with Michael Che. Super funny guy. And he's been part of NBC's, shocker, NBC, their Olympic coverage. The Olympics coverage has had a ton of cameos from guys like Peyton Manning, Snoop Dogg, and just a bunch of celebrity commentators. And Colin Jost, he's actually not in Paris for the Olympics. He is covering the Olympics in Tahiti. He got the surfing assignment.
All right. I mean, Paris is cool, and you know, I've always wanted to go to Paris.
There might be some FOMO, like you're not there for the opening ceremonies.
But, I mean, Tahiti's a really good assignment. If that's what they're giving you, if you're getting paid to be there, that is a really good assignment for Colin Jost.
Yeah, you can't complain too much. However, when you're covering a surfing competition, it is probably wise to be aware of your surroundings. And Colin Jost posted a picture on Instagram yesterday about his foot in the picture. And he said that he has been to the Olympic medical tent more than any of the athletes there in Tahiti as he's covering the surfing competition because he got caught up with some coral reef. And coral reef is extremely sharp and will mess you up. And he's got bandages on three and a half of his five toes, and I guess he was just walking through some water or whatever, maybe stepped on something.
Well, I saw his bid is he got the sportscaster like blazer and top on, but then he's got a bathing suit on the bottom and just bare feet. So he was trying to go casual and funny, but apparently when you walk onto the coral in Tahiti, doesn't work out well. You were telling me, and this shocked me, who Colin Jost is married to.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
My number one. Oh, yeah.
Black Widow.
Yeah, they've been together for a while now. I think she was hosting one year, and they met and fell in love, and they've been married. They're like very happy together.
He's not abnormal looking or anything.
Oh, he's a good looking guy. He's successful. He's funny, but he's not.
He's not like a hunk, though. You know, right? I mean, I'm not saying I am, but I just that surprised me that those two are happily together a little bit. I don't know.
Very much so.
Love is love.
Yeah,
love is
good
blind.
For him. Good for him.
All right, finally, and I mean, this is obviously elements of don't do this, but I got to give it a do this.
Mega do.
If you saw the video, what happened yesterday when the Orioles hosted the Blue Jays, and James McCann of the Orioles, and this was fairly early in the game, right? Took a fastball from Yariel Rodriguez right to the face. To force in a run. Tough RBI. It hit off of his nose, knocked his helmet off, broke his nose completely. I mean, the blood was gushing. And I mean, I know that people who are squeamish, and I did show it on television last night with a warning. Like, hey, if you're squeamish, you're going to want to close your eyes for a second because this is kind of gnarly and gruesome. I know people don't like that.
I didn't even want to put it up on our YouTube stream
because
that... I mean, maybe I'm just a wimp. I get a little, not queasy. I don't need to see that. I don't need to see the slow motion arms or legs bending and breaking in ways they're not supposed to move. And I didn't need to see blood just pouring out of this guy's face and a blood soaked towel. But the doo-doo this is what happened next. I mean, surely he left the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's down on the ground. They're treating him. You're hoping he's not like permanently damaged, you know, nothing, you know, with his brain
rushed
or skull or anything. Major concussion. I mean, you are absolutely terrified for immediate medical concerns. They treat him. He like insists on going to first base. It's like you got to come out of the game. You're bleeding all over the place. They jam like gauze up both of his noses, nostrils. Like, I mean, they must try to get his nose back into place after it's been broken. Goes out, not only finishes the inning by running the base paths, stays in, plays the entire 9-inning game with cotton jammed up his nose. In order, by the way, it was the first game of the doubleheader, so he knows his team kind of needs him, and he was not going to be taken out of that game for any reason. That's got to be a pretty inspiring thing to see if you're a teammate, guy's willing to go out there after that happens. And unsurprisingly, the Orioles went on and won that game 11-5. Although they did lose the second game of the doubleheader. And
that was cool.
Don't and do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Right, what's going on with the trading deadline? Are the White Sox going to trade Garrett Crochet? Could it be to the San Diego Padres?
You know, I just got 5 minutes ago an ESPN push notification on my phone. Latest trade buzz says Padres, Braves, and Dodgers are in the mix for White Sox ace Garrett Crochet. Everything our insiders are hearing, click the link below.
That insider.
Why don't we just go to one of those insiders right now who's in Chicago close to the White Sox?
Is Jesse Rogers. He'll join us next here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away. We're all waiting and wondering, what other tricks does A.J. Preller have up his sleeve before 3 o'clock today? And without further ado, let's go right now to someone who is obviously having a very busy day. He's one of our absolute favorite guests, MLB insider for ESPN. Jesse Rogers is back with us. And Jesse, I know there's a lot going on, obviously, today. Just give us kind of an update on kind of what you're hearing this morning, especially centered around Garrett Crochet, someone that the Padres have shown interest in. But, of course, it's come with a lot of complications the last few days. Good morning, Jesse.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Yeah, as of this moment, I wish I had better info. I'm getting some mixed signals about Crochet. At this very second, I'm not sure that he's going to be traded. But I will tell you, when I woke up this morning and started making a few calls or texts, I guess, I thought that he was. So within a couple hours, I've kind of changed my tune on that. So I guess it's still possible. But right now I'm thinking it may not happen, which means it will definitely happen in the off season. But we don't care about that. We care about the deadline today. So I guess if it's going to sort of happen under the radar at the last second, the Padres are as good as any team to choose here. I know they've been scouting him, and AJ Preller's pretty good at the sleight of hand moves. So I'll leave open the possibility, but in this moment, this very moment, I'm not sure that he's going to get moved today.
So if it doesn't happen, presumably it's because Chris Getz thinks he can get more because of the innings restrictions, because of Crochet's comments about needing a contract extension and not pitching in the playoffs. You know, it's a seller's market right now, but Crochet, in some ways, Jesse, kind of tied the hands of the White Sox a little bit.
Yeah, he absolutely did. It was all very strategic. It's a cutthroat business. Agents are cutthroat. Executives are cutthroat. It is what it is. And so, yeah, he put it out there that he wants an extension to pitch that extra month. And I get it. I think more people get it than back in the day when we're like, what do you mean? It's the playoffs. You got to pitch. But you know what? You have to stand up for yourself. And here's the thing. If he stays on the White Sox, okay, they are going to ramp him down and probably shut him down at some point. If he was traded to a team not in contention, they would probably do the same thing. So, like, you have to understand, teams, just like in 2012 with the Nationals and Steven Strasburg, the team shut him down. So it's not like it's not on the mind of executives. It's just that when you have a chance to win the World Series, you're going to want to push the guy. But he has muddied the trade waters here for sure, probably enough that he may not get moved. But I will tell you, the back and forth between the sides kind of had me thinking late last night, they got to get him out just to move on from this. But again, it's just two more months. The team's going nowhere. They can always do it in November. So I think, yeah, full value might come in November when a team training for him knows now he's built up his innings. I don't think his trade value is going to lessen the next 2 months. Like, people know who he is now. I think he's established himself. So I think he's thinking, why not open it up to 29 teams instead of maybe just a few that will use him the right way? Because I don't think anyone's giving him an extension right now. I think the answer would be they would use him down the stretch and then go ahead and shut him down, even if their team made the playoffs.
I get that it's smart baseball. You're out of it, far out of it, if you're the White Sox and you trade away some players. Why wouldn't you? I mean, it's not going well. But at some point, I mean, they're getting to the really embarrassing levels. I mean, 15-game losing streak, had a 14-gamer early, historically bad season, and now they're facing potentially the last couple of months with, you know, nothing but, you know, minor league call-ups and, you know, fill-ins for the rest of the season. This could get historically ugly, Jesse.
Oh, there's no doubt. I've been there the last little while. I've been there all season, to be honest, being based in Chicago. I was there yesterday, saw Bobby Witt hit an eighth inning grand slam. Here's a note to pitchers. Don't walk the two guys in front of Bobby Witt when you're trailing, when you're leading by a run. It's like it is one bad thing after another, and now they lost their closer, trading Kopech. They lost their second-best starter in Fetty. More are going to go today, whether it's Crochet or not. It's a disaster, but I guess in some ways, what's the difference if it's 110, 115, 120? Although, you know, I don't think you want that on your resume, the most losses in the history of the game. So I guess you want to avoid the 120, 121 mark. But yeah, it's embarrassing. The owner held a press conference last year that will go down in history when he said, I'm doing what I'm doing because I think this is a quick fix. He said that when he hired Chris Getz. I think we can get right back in it. And here, a year later, they're going to challenge for one of the worst teams in history. So I think for Chris Getz, the new GM, it's like, what's the difference? Let's rip off the Band-Aid, get as many prospects in as we can, and just move on from there.
Talking to ESPN MLB insider Jesse Rogers here. So if Crochet doesn't get moved, and you know, you're not positive about that, doesn't look like the Tigers are going to move Skubal. We saw some reporting today. I thought after the Giants traded Solaire that they might be selling, but I saw some reporting today that they're going to keep Blake Snell and still try to make a push to the playoffs. What pitcher, you know, Kikuchi was traded yesterday. What pitchers do you expect, starting pitchers, to be traded today? Because that's what the Padres and several other teams are really looking at most intently here before 3 o'clock Pacific.
I mean, Jack Flaherty is at the top of the list.
Yep.
He is absolutely at the top of the list. And, you know, I don't think the Padres want to take on a lot of money. That's why Crochet kind of made sense without the extension, of course. Flaherty makes sense. Rental, you kind of used up a lot of your prospect capital on Jason Adam. You'll have to use more on Flaherty, but it's obviously a two-month rental is a little bit easier of a thing to swallow here. So I don't have any inside information about the Padres in on Flaherty. It just would make sense. He is absolutely going. I kind of know what the Tigers are up to. The fact that they scratched him last night means they must be close. But even if they hadn't scratched him, I still think they were going to trade him. Scott Harris, the president there, has kind of indicated to all parties that he doesn't think they're going to win this year, and maybe even not next year. I think Scott Harris and the Tigers are really in it for the long haul, trying to build what could be a monster eventually in the AL Central. The Detroit Tigers is a coveted job among executives for a lot of different reasons. The AL Central is not that difficult of a division most years. This year it's a good one. And the Ilitch family will spend. It's and they have fans there that will show up. It's a good job to have, but there's no reason to rush it. So I think Flaherty is at the top of the list of players to be traded. I think the reliever market's really going to move after that. Like you said, we've seen starters go. There's probably a couple others that will move, but Flaherty's at the top of the list. And then you're going to see a bunch of relievers go, including Tanner Scott and Kyle Finnegan, in my opinion. And we saw what Jason Adam and Estevez brought back to their team. So I think the reliever market is pretty plentiful in terms of getting prospects back, and I expect that to move more than the starters today.
And I thought the most interesting trade yesterday was that three-way deal that also involved the White Sox, with Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham going to the Cardinals, with the Dodgers then picking up Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech. A lot of the reviews were like the White Sox didn't get enough, especially with what the price tag is for starting pitching. What was your kind of analysis of that deal?
Yeah, I mean, I defer to the experts, and our own at ESPN said the same thing. The two prospects that are in the minors, one's out for the season with an injury, but both are not highly rated. The one major league player, Miguel Vargas, I think could be good. The numbers don't look good right now with the Dodgers, but it's really hard to break in as a young player with the Dodgers. You look at what Michael Busch did. He was blocked in L.A., comes to the Cubs. He's a candidate for Rookie of the Year. Miguel Vargas could blossom on the White Sox, 500, you know, getting 500 at bats, no pressure. But yes, it still wasn't enough. I think Chris Getz sort of viewed it this way. Eric Fetty kind of came out of nowhere for them. Signed from Korea, $7.5 million this year, $7.5 million next year. Tommy Pham appeared in April out of nowhere. Like he took two guys that appeared out of nowhere and turned them into three prospects. The only problem is, first of all, don't forget about Michael Kopech, who could be a valuable late inning reliever. And the fact of the matter is, Eric Fetty is really good. I mean, you got to get past the fact that he appeared out of nowhere and realize you have a talent that a lot of people want at a nice price for this year and next. And I don't think he maximized that value. The way it was described to me is, yes, if Fetty was a rental this year, maybe the deal makes a little bit more sense. But the fact that the Cardinals get him for next year as well, White Sox did not do enough. I think most people are panning the Astros and the White Sox for their returns they got for their deals yesterday.
All right, last thing before you go, Jesse. Obviously, we've seen a very active trade deadline. I think there's a number of reasons for it. A lot of teams still in contention. Obviously, no more non-waiver trade deadline, so you've got teams being more active. Are those changes good? More playoff spots available? Do you think this is good for baseball the way it's set up, or would you make more changes to the trade deadline rules in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually wrote an Olympic thing, and when they have the Olympics in 4 years of baseball players playing it, they're going to have to change the trade deadline. And I was talking to someone about that. Like, once they change it once, they might stay. You know, sometimes you're forced to do a change, and then you realize that's the better way of doing it. I think it's still evolving. It's still early to know if this is the right way to do things with so many teams in it. You know, we're going to still see what baseball wants is a lot of trades. And there was a feeling with so many teams in it now with the third wild card that there wouldn't be as many sellers. But we always say that, like, on June 1st. And then come July 30th, okay, the Nats aren't really a contender. The Cubs aren't a contender. I don't think the Giants are. Like, it all kind of separates. There'll be those odd years where, you know, 13 out of 15 teams are in the wild card or the division hunt. But a month ago, we thought this could be one of those years and there wouldn't be a lot of trades. But we've seen a bunch of trades. We're going to see a bunch now. So I think the league would say, no, it's okay. The system's working. But there's going to be a few of those years where it really is a seller's market and there's not that many trades and we'll all be critical. But I think we're seeing enough. You know, maybe not the biggest names are moving. We thought Pete Alonso and J.D. Martinez at one point, but the Mets got back in it. So I think the jury is still out if this system is working, but I think they're okay with what they're seeing this year.
Jesse, really appreciate it. I know it's a busy day. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and hopefully everything breaks well for you at least today.
Thank you guys for having me on. It should be an interesting day. One thing about the Padres, man, I have never seen a streaker team. I mean, how many times have you guys thought they're in it, they're out of it, they're in it, they're
every
out of the
week?
You go back over their last 2 months; it's essentially an unending string of 5-0, 0-5, 5-0, 0-5, 7-1, 0-1-7, 12-3, 0-6, 5-1.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no let's win one, lose one, win one, lose one. It doesn't happen for this team.
Yeah, it makes for good talk radio, I will tell you that.
Yes, it does.
You know?
It also drives us crazy. It drives us crazy.
Sure.
Thanks, Jesse.
For sure. All right, guys, take care.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN MLB insider. It's not us. We're not the only ones who are noticing how unbelievably streaky. It's so ironic that Mike Schilt pushed back me the roller coaster terminology when it was probably a little early in the season to do so, because it has been the most roller coaster of a season, maybe that you've ever seen for a baseball team.
It's the definition of a roller coaster of a season. I mean, maybe you should ask him again on Friday.
Exactly. No, really, Mike. Is it been a roller coaster? Has it really been?
Nah,
it's
man.
Been the roller coaster.
It's more like a carousel. You know, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down.
So the reporting from Jesse, and he doesn't know, but he's getting the sense that Garrett Crochet will not be traded, which may leave Jack Flaherty as the biggest name. Now, it wouldn't stun me if AJ pulled off a deal for Jack Flaherty, but he's not one of the names that I've seen consistently linked with the Padres, other than, you know, Padres need pitching and he is a pitcher. Specifically, we've heard about AJ's talks about Garrett Crochet. We've heard a lot of rumblings about Blake Snell, but of course the reporting is this morning that's not going to happen either. Who is left for the Padres to go out and get that is actually on their radar? Remember, you've got to match up with the team that you're talking to as well. You may want a guy. They may just have no interest in what you're offering, and that pretty much torpedoes a deal. I saw that with the Yankees this morning, that they're kind of out on Crochet simply because White Sox don't really match up, and they don't really think that there's anything to talk about with the New York Yankees. That could happen with the San Diego Padres, considering how much of their farm system they've already dealt.
All that stuff with Crochet is just fascinating to me, because listening to Jesse, like, I get where he's coming from.
I've got a scary thought.
I get where
on
he's
that.
Coming from.
I've got a scary thought of how these contract negotiations will start playing out in the future.
You're telling me he gets traded to a contender and he's not going to want to go out there and want the ball and try to go get a ring?
All right, let's play this out.
Really?
Let's check traffic. I'm going to play this out the last couple of minutes this hour, coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Seems most of our problems have been in the North County. Got a couple of problems here. Southbound side of 15, right around Via Rancho Parkway. Collision involving four vehicles. They're all over the right shoulder. Watch out for people walking around. Move over a lane if it's safe to do so. Also, pickup truck caught fire in westbound 56 before Rancho Penasquitos. It's over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Fenner Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
So this applies to really all sports, but, you know, baseball a little bit now. I think football certainly. When an athlete is trying to get a new contract, one of the strategies they often use is what? They hold out from training camp. You know, okay,
sure.
Well, I'm not going to show up until I get a new contract.
Hold out from spring training.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see it as much in baseball with the guaranteed deals, but it's happened before. What does the team really think about that, though? Oh, great. You're not, no chance of getting hurt. You'll probably be ready anyway. It's not, you're not putting that much pressure on missing Cactus League games or missing preseason NFL games. When does it really hurt if you're not going to play? You're going to hold out from the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now that applies pressure on a team. Like, oh, you mean you're not going to play in the playoffs unless we give you a new contract? We got our shot now to win the World Series, but if we don't give Garrett Crochet 7 years and $242 million, he's not going to pitch for us? Now, there's some pressure to get a deal done. If I'm an agent, I look at that and I go, why am I using my leverage, you know, at the beginning of the year when no one cares? Use it at the end of the year. And obviously that also, though, can hurt the player because you make your reputation in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, you make history. The reason you have gotten into the sport, you know, presumably is for your chance to win a World Series or a Super Bowl. So to threaten not to play when you have the opportunity to do that is very telling as well. But
I mean,
it's also,
I get it. I am for players getting their bag. But man, that just, I don't know if I'm just like still got a bad taste in my mouth from the Josh Hader experience here and him not wanting to pitch, you know, three games in a row or anything like that. And we saw how all that played out, but I'm just going, huh. You just got traded from, like, let's say the Padres traded for him. Like, you got traded from the worst team in baseball, maybe one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball history. You get traded to a contender. And you're just like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, we were mad that Josh Hader couldn't come in for a fourth out in the postseason. Can you imagine if the Padres needed a start? They traded for Garrett Crochet. Game seven of the NLCS. We got no healthy starters. Well, this Garrett Crochet sitting, yeah, he won't pitch unless he gets a new contract. Lose your ever-loving mind if it came down to that.
Oh, God.
Holy cow. All right, good stuff from Jesse Rogers. We'll keep an eye on any transactions that happen. We got 2 hours to go. More Ben and Woods, including Jesse Agler, coming up in our next hour here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.